know.
They're just embarrassed. Don't worry, I'm not going to pick you out. Anyway, my name is Darby, and my wife and I live in Lititz, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you guys ever have been to Lititz, the little town of Lititz. It's kind of like a Norman Rockwell town. Anyway, my wife and I live in Lititz, and I've been traveling for 5 years and speaking probably 10 to 15 times a month, from like little house groups to churches, and have ministered in all different kinds of places. Actually, right now, the Lord has been taking my focus and putting it on the next generation a lot more. It's funny. It's kind of like the Lord is taking me full turn to where I started. I'm actually reaching out to high school students, elementary school students, and that's kind of like where my ministry is, like a lot of the direction is going in. And I've also worked a lot with, my wife and I have worked with lots of different kids and different backgrounds. So I just want to thank you guys for the Rock Church, for you guys just sowing into me, and for anyone else that that feels in their heart to do so. I really appreciate it. I want you to know you're sowing into good soil, and I want you to know that I really appreciate it, and I believe that that we're going to see some amazing things for 2019. So I have some things in my heart this morning. I'm going to open up and pray, and then we're going to get started. So, Lord, we just thank you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've ever done. Lord, we thank you for those who are here. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing everyone here this morning. I just thank you for the people that are visiting. I pray that they feel welcome, and we just bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want you guys to know something, like, I don't know what you're used to, but for those who are visiting, I really like interaction. Like, honestly, I usually move around a lot, so this, because we don't have a wireless, I have a leash today, so I'm going to probably be out here, like, just walking back and forth. Anyway, just super excited about being here, and I'm going to kind of give you guys a little bit of a background for those who have never heard me before, just kind of share my heart a little bit that will kind of give a context to what I want to share today. What I'm actually going to talk about today is what it looks like to reign in life through Christ. And for a long time in my life, I grew up in an environment, I'm the oldest, just to let you know, I'm the oldest of, at that time, growing up, 6 kids. And then as my parents got older, they decided we're going to go for a second batch. And so now I'm the oldest of 10. And 7 sisters and 2 brothers. So forget ever trying to use the bathroom. And but I am very grateful that for my family. But growing up, my parents, being a bigger family, it's, you know, there's financial struggles and things growing up. And I would say that we were relatively poor. And I say that in comparison to third world countries, we were rich. You know, even some of the poorest people in America are rich. But growing up in that environment, I remember quite often I would hear my family, and they would have discussions in the background, and I'd hear them say, I don't know if we're going to be able to survive. I don't know if we're going to make it this next week. And then so I would hear this on a weekly basis for years. And for those who are parents here, and you try not to let your children hear those things, my parents weren't trying to do that, but I end up hearing it. You know, the kids get a lot more than you think. And so over those years, because of that experience, I would find myself over the years as I got older really struggling in my life, trying to make ends meet, to survive financially, to be able to cover my expenses. I kept on feeling like I was kind of going through a loop in my life. I know one thing I really wanted to get and kind of give you an example of this is I don't know how many cars I've had in my life, but I probably had over 20. And for some people in the room are like, well, that's not too bad, you know, for my life. But I want you to know that a lot of those cars were in the first, like, 25 years of my life, and I'm now 42. So that kind of gives you an idea. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because For a long time, we would get a vehicle, and I'd get a car, and it would run for a while, and then within 3 months, 2 months, sometimes 1 month, my car would break down. And I want you to know this whole pattern kept on following. So I would go and have to get rid of another car and get another car and do the same thing all over again. And I found myself doing this so often that there were times there were gaps of me not having a vehicle for 2 and 3 months, sometimes 6 months. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because of my bad experience, I started to believe that every car I was going to have was going to be a car that would break down on me. And so every car I'd get, it'd just be in a couple months. And I'm like, yep, I'm getting ready. I'm like, I'm waiting. It's going to happen. And then it would happen. And, and what happened for me in my life, I was raised in a Christian home. And the environment I grew up in was, it had a very strong rule-based church. For me, growing up, it was based upon, like, what kind of clothes girls would wear. If girls were wearing pants, you're in trouble. There's a whole bunch of people in trouble in this room right here. A whole bunch of pants-wearing women. And guys, like, guys, if they had their hair touching their ear, you know, and their back of their collar, you know, I don't know what happens. I don't know what, like, God comes down and smites them. I don't know. But this is kind of the environment that I was brought up in. And for me, for all those years of experiencing this, I really started to get a bad taste in my mouth for God and for the church. And now I want you to know that my eyes were on the wrong thing, but this is my story. This is my experience. So along with struggling in my life, I was struggling in my relationship with God. I got to a place where I walked away from God. And I said, I'm done with church. I can't do this whole thing. And I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And I went from a young, passionate kid for Jesus at a young age to hating God. And then getting to a place where I said I was an atheist. Now, for me, I want you to know I was an atheist for about 6 months, and I was no good at it at all. See, because I looked at things intellectually, and I'm thinking, this is intellectually dishonest to look at something so beautiful in the world and to say it just happened by chance and that there was not intention behind what we're seeing around us. But at the same time, I did not come and say, I love Jesus. No, I just didn't know. Like, I knew there was something out there. I didn't know who it was. The Jesus that I grew up with is dead, and God that I grew up with is somewhere. Maybe he's angry at me, maybe he's ticked off, maybe he's disappointed in me. And I had this kind of paradigm for years, and I really struggled with depression and anxiety, and found myself not only having cars breaking down, but relationships breaking down. I would go from one relationship to the next relationship. I was a serial dater. And so, and it wasn't that I was trying to be a player. It was just I could not find what I was looking for. And for all the years, I found myself going through the same situation again and again. Different girl, different name, but the same person. And I don't know how to explain this, but I felt like I was in Groundhog's Day. I felt like my life was repeating itself. And I'm like, wait, I just broke up with you. And I'm just dating this new... Wait, I don't understand. Why are you doing this to me? And so once again, I started to expect these bad things to happen to me. And I thought, man, like, if there's a cloud over anyone's head, it's over mine. And I was a full-time Eeyore. Like, I mean, I had a little Tigger in me at times. Like, at times I'd be like, woohoo, yeah. And then I would go, I don't know. I hate my life, and no one loves me, and blah, blah, blah. And I had pity parties, and no one would ever show up with balloons. So this is my life for a long time. But what happened for me was God kept on pursuing me. These God winks would happen. Things would happen that would make no explanation by science. Like, I mean, for instance, I remember one time when I lived in Louisiana. Now, this is me trying to find my life. I don't know about you, but I wanted to get away from where I grew up, where everyone knew me or they thought they knew me. And that's what I did. I ended up going to Louisiana, going down south, opening up my own business. That's actually where my dad's from. And it was there where I found myself, I always have a habit of picking up strays. So stray people, stray animals growing up. So I had some people living with me. And they just so happened to be the wrong color in the area that I lived in. And I started having threats, people threatening me to burn my place down because I had my black friends living with me. And I remember praying that night and saying, I don't know who you are. You're probably ticked off at me, but I need some help here because I'm going to die. And I remember having this prayer, and then the next day, the police came in and raided all these KKK members in my neighborhood. So, like, I had all these things that happened. I'm like, there's no stinking way this is happening to me. Like, is this really happening to me? And I'm like, okay, well, I don't deserve your goodness because I've been a bad boy. And I want you to know, like, for my life, it wasn't that I was, like, an evil person. I just found my comfort in the wrong things. I found my comfort in relationships. I found my comfort in substances. You know, I found myself in comfort in distracting myself, going out to places, doing things, keeping myself busy. And eventually I started to see that my life that I was living would go good for a while and then it would crash. And I found this pattern in my life and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going crazy here. Like, I can't do this thing called life. So I started struggling immensely with depression and suicidal thoughts and tried to think of ways. And I'm not trying to go into the depths of this, but I kept on seeing these God winks in my life. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't make sense to me. Like, I probably deserve to get hit by a 2x4 right now, and yet I'm seeing kindness. Let me give you another story, and then I'm going to go into the message. But basically, I had it one time. I remember watching these movies from the 80s, and in the movies, I'd watch like the party animal movies, and like people are going to the party and they're doing keg stands and stuff. And I'm thinking, like, that's so cool. I want to go to one of these parties because this is like in my mind of what it looks like. So I go to one of these frat parties, and it was at F&M College, and I don't even go to school there. So I went in there just kind of stealth mode, and I remember going in, and there was probably 500 people in a three-story home. I mean, it was crazy how many people. We're all packed in like sardines. And I remember going down to the basement because I knew that's where the bar was. And so I went downstairs, and it was packed. And I remember being in the middle of all these people. There was, like, in the basement alone, there was over probably 150 people. And it was a pretty big house, but it was packed. So I remember going in the bar, and I'm, like, looking at the bar at the other end of the basement, and I had to, like, waddle my way through this crowd, okay? So, like, I'm just trying to get a drink, and as I'm waddling, like, seriously waddling through this crowd, I hear, "Leave now!" And I'm looking around for, like, is there a bouncer here? Does someone know that I'm not supposed to be here? This is what I was thinking. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm hearing things. Mind you, I did not have a drink yet, okay? So I go back, and I'm, like, going back, trying to get back to the bar. It's time to go. I'm looking around. Where in the world? Third time it happened, I'm, like, I'm freaking out. I'm getting out of here. So I left that frat house, and as soon as I walked out the door, all I hear is, "Ooh!" And all these cops rolled up in the front yard, and they busted all those people, but I got out. I'm like, wait a minute here. Like, okay, God, like, you're watching out for me? You're like, this doesn't make sense, because the God that I grew up with, why would he watch out for me that way? Like, I deserved to be punished. And I started to kind of get a different feel of who God was. April 6, 2003, after about 6 months, I said, "God, I want you to show me who you are." And for about 6 months, I said, "God, I don't care. I don't care if you're a goddess. I don't care if you're Buddha. I don't care if you're Muhammad. I don't care if you're the spaghetti monster in the sky. Whoever you are, show me yourself." And I prayed this prayer for 6 months. And on the 6th month, I had this conversation with God. And in this conversation, I sat at the front step of my parents' house after losing my business, my car, my girlfriend. My life was a bad country song. I'm just telling you, it was bad. So I'm back. I'm 26 years old, back at my parents' house, yippee, and having nothing. And I remember having this conversation with God. I said, "God, this does not make sense to me. I know that I have been more gracious towards people that I've known over the years and have forgiven a lot of stupid things they've done. So if I know that you have been kind to me, even though these other things like my dad being sick, me growing up with bad cars, bad relationships, I realize that God, that you didn't do these things to me. I don't understand them. It doesn't make sense in what I know about you, but I don't need to figure it out anymore. I know that you're good. This other stuff here doesn't make sense, and it's a mystery to me. But I said, God, you're good. And I put that stuff off to the side, and it was at that moment that my little Baptist self did not understand. I felt the presence of God. And I want you to know, when I felt the presence of God, I want you to know I did not grow up like this. I grew up that didn't believe that God said anything to anyone, anytime. That was already in the Bible. He's not going to do anything else. That's it. But I experienced God on the front step of my parents' house. And the Lord said to me that day, he says, I want you to know that you are going to learn how to hear my voice. And I'm going to teach you who I really am. And honestly, it was a deconstructionism that I had. Deconstruction of religion, of the law. I started to understand grace. I started to understand God's goodness. And I started to understand one really big thing that really gets me, and it sounds like a heretical thing to say, is I realized that God is not in control. I realized that God is all-powerful, and there is a difference. If God is in control, then all the bad things that happen to me are his fault, and he gets the blame for them. But what I realized is over the years, I react to situations and made it worse. I'm sure that no one else in this room has ever done that before. So I will be an object lesson for you today. So, you know, I grew up with this, and I want you to know, like, my life didn't, like, come together perfectly after understanding some things. But one of the things that really grabbed a hold of me in 2002, a year before I had this encounter with God, I had something that happened to me that changed my life, and it was a thought. You ever have a thought that you know that was not inside your head? It came to you. You're like, where did that thought come from? I don't know where you're at in your journey with God, but it doesn't matter. I know this. God is speaking to us, and he's reaching out to you. And sometimes you might think it's something else. You might even think it's another person. You might think it's another God. You might think, I want you to know that God is speaking to you. And what needs to happen is you start to understand that God actually wants to have a relationship with you. Even if you grew up knowing this, sometimes you can say, well, I know this. I know the truth. But if you have no relationship with him and it's just going to church on Sunday, then we don't really know him. And that's not a big thing. It's not like that you're a bad person. It's just that you don't realize what you have. Sometimes we don't realize that we have billions of dollars inside of us and we live off 50 cents a day. And this is the thing. When you start to understand who you are, everything starts to shift. Now, 2002, a year before I got experienced the Holy Spirit, what happened was I had this thought to me, and this is the thought that came to me, and I don't know where it came from at the time. It came out in the form of a question. Do I need to be ruled by my emotions and my thoughts? That was a question. Do I need to be ruled by this? And that might sound like a really stupid question, but for me, it was very profound. It was a seed that built and snowballed over the years. And as I experienced God, I experienced miracles. I saw things that people would probably put me in a loony bin because of the crazy things I experienced. And I could tell you story after story after story of seeing miracles of God. And I was a Baptist boy. I didn't even believe in these things. But God, he like plunged me into his world. It felt like I was in Narnia. Nothing made sense to me. The new world, the kingdom, understanding God, this did not. I had different kind of software. You know, my software that I grew up in was God is angry and he's kind of like finicky about things. And if you don't get it right, he's going to be angry at you. He's going to get rid of you, blah, blah, blah. So this is the software I had. And then the world was cruel and everyone's against me. All my relationships are bad and I'm going to have really bad cars my whole life. This is the software that I had. But then I realized over the years that I didn't have to think that way. But it didn't happen right away. It wasn't like I came to Jesus on April 6, 2003 and everything was good. What I realized is I was experiencing all these amazing things, but my head was saying something else. My heart was over here saying, yes, Jesus. My head was like, heck no, like I can't do this. I can't live this way, and I can't survive, and I'm freaking out, okay? So I'm like a two, I was like a split personality. My heart said yes, and my head said no. Well, I didn't realize that after living in this place of double-mindedness, that I got to a place that got burned out after experiencing God on great, amazing heights and experiences. And for about 5 years, I kind of checked out. Like, I wasn't against God. I love God, but I felt like a failure. So I'm not coming here and sharing a story and like everything just went perfectly after I gave my life to Jesus. It wasn't that way at all. It was a journey. On 2011, I started to hear some teaching I've never heard before. And I started to hear that you could be happy and joyful regardless of your circumstances. Now, to some of you guys, you're like, duh, like that's so simple. But to me, that was profound. It was like, wait, I don't have to be crazy in my head. I don't have to feel emotionally all over the place. Like, I'm an emotional person. I mean, I can feel things very strongly. And now my thoughts are like crazy. Like, you mean my thoughts can actually get to a place where I can actually have clarity in my mind? Now, I would like to say to you, everything's perfect in my life right now, but it's not. But when I started to understand that I truly can have a partnership with God and start to actually take control of my thoughts and control of my life, that's when everything shifted for me. So what I want to share with you is some scriptures and some tools that I believe will help you in your journey. And maybe you're already killing it. You're doing amazing. You're soaring. Great. I have something to learn from you. But while I'm here, for those who may have not had the tools or may find themselves in a spin cycle in their life, maybe this message is for you. Maybe for those who are soaring in the room, it's just going to be a reminder. So the scriptures I want to go over is, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read a couple, and then you guys can look them up. I'm going to kind of go quick, because I don't want to belabor and break everything down what I'm sharing. I'm just going to let the word speak for itself. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Beautiful. Okay, so you are meant to prosper as your soul prospers. I want you to know your emotions and your thoughts are in your soul. So if you're emotional and your thoughts are all over the place, it's because your soul needs to learn how to prosper. Here's the thing. In Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, in Christ you are a new creation. So a new creation looks like Jesus. A new creation is, in the midst of the storm, you're falling asleep on the boat. You guys good? You guys are really quiet. We're good? I'm probably talking. That's okay. You have a question? Yeah, sure. 3 John 2. The next one? Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I like this. We're getting some interaction here. I mean, come on. We're a small group. We can do this. So what is soul prosperity? Now, some people get really freaked out when they start hearing about prosperity, but I want you to know I'm giving you this message after the offering plate. You get it? We're going to pass the plate around again for my jet, but other than that, I'm going to go into my message. No one's getting that. I was joking about the jets. Okay. I do want a car that flies, though, and they do exist. I want you to know that. YouTube that one. That's crazy. Anyway, so what is soul prosperity? Soul prosperity, my definition of soul prosperity is walking completely in the new man. Walking completely in the new man. See, if you are a new creation, Jesus and you have become one. Now, if you and Jesus have become one, everything he has is yours, and everything you have is his. Well, if you have access to everything that Jesus has, and if you're not living it, then there's a disconnect, right? If I'm not finding myself living in prosperity. Now, the prosperity it's talking about here is not an external prosperity. It's talking about an internal prosperity. See, if you are bankrupt in your soul, if you find yourself in a place where you're struggling maybe it's with depression or anxiety, or maybe you're struggling with actually having a positive viewpoint on life. Maybe you're struggling with your relationships. It all comes from the inside. Now, I'm not trying to say to you in this message is that you get everything here okay and everything will be okay here. What I'm saying to you is if you could get this okay and this in the right place, it doesn't matter what happens to you, you still will reign in life. So why is this message so important about reigning in life? And I'm going to tell you why. Originally, I wasn't going to share this part, but I really feel like I'm supposed to share this. The reason why it's so important, what I believe why it's so important for us to get what I'm sharing with you today under wraps is this one thing, is that you are made to do something magnificent. You are made to do something that makes an impact on the world. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know where you're at in your journey. Maybe you're like, hey, I'm almost out of this place, and I just don't care. Maybe you're thinking, I already screwed up too much, and there's no hope for me. Or maybe you actually are hearing this, and you're like, yes, I want to walk in this. I'm praying that every one of you in this room realize that God has something beautiful for you to do. He has something powerful for you to do. He has something that's magnificent, that's beyond your hopes, imagines, or dreams. I want you to know this is not just rah-rah-rah talk. This is actually something I've seen in my own life that as I started to understand, it changed my life. As I started to have my mind come into a new frame, I started to look at things and filter things differently. What does soul prosperity look like? It looks like reigning in life. Those who love the presence of the Lord and are mature sons who are empowered. Now, I want you to know, here's something. For those who, how many people in this room are parents? Okay. So, for all the parents in the room, how many of you in this room want to see your children prosper? Duh, right? Right? How much more so does the God of the universe want to see you prosper? How much more so are those who are evil to give good gifts? Not to pick on you guys, not to say you're all evil, but in comparison with God's goodness, he's a lot gooder than we are at our best, right? So if he wants that for you, so what do you want your child to do? You want your child to be able to what? Make good decisions, right? You want to train them so you're not going to be able to hold that little boy's hand when they start growing up. You're not going to hold their hand all the way through. You got to train them up in the way so that way they can actually prosper. Otherwise, when they're out there in the world, they're going to struggle and they'll have failure to thrive. Now, if your 20-year-old is still requiring your hand to walk through everything, you know, it's okay. But as that man, that young man grows into his 20s, late 20s and 30s, you want to see that young man thrive. Here's the deal. We need to get so mature in our faith that we can make good decisions. I want you to know that soul prosperity is our ability to make decisions like Jesus. Make good decisions and confident decisions. Many of us make decisions and we don't feel confident. We're like, I hope this one works. I hope this turns out, right? I don't know about you, but I've experienced that. There's times I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, I know that God's with me, so I know that he's going to catch me, but I'm still stepping out here. So here's the thing. Romans chapter 8 talks about how creation is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, if you look at the scripture and you see the word sons, it actually means mature sons. So what's the difference between a mature son and an immature son or a young son? And there's actually a distinction in the Bible. The difference is this. A young son may have to ask for permission for everything. A mature son knows his dad's way of thinking and goes out into the world and does something for the kingdom. A mature son doesn't say, God, what color shoes do you want me to wear today? Where do you want me to go right now? And this might sound like, wow, Darby, like you're not asking God where to go. I want you to know that you need to get to a place in your life where you feel confident to make decisions and you don't need to ask God for every single thing. because you already know his mindset. You already know what his will is for your life. Does that make sense? At first, it sounds heretical. Like, how dare you? But imagine this. You're okay, let's say you have a son. He's 50, okay? And he's 50 years old, and he's still not sure if he has to ask you to go use the bathroom. That would be kind of weird. Now, unless there's something mentally, a mental problem going on there, it should not look that way, okay? The mature man is one that's going to make decisions. Women, there's a lot of women in the room. Same thing. Ladies, you are sons. Romans chapter 8 is talking about you too. That's okay, because men were bride. We're the bride of Christ, okay? Different metaphors. So we're even. So here we go. So 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We got to make this word legal, right? So it says it right there. We have the mind of Christ. Now, here's the question I have for you. If you have the mind of Christ, why do you make bad decisions? We must be out of our mind. Exactly. You're in the wrong mind. It's exactly right. You are in the wrong mind. You ever make decisions? You ever do things? You ever, like, do something stupid and you're like, why in the world did I do that? Like, I know better than this. You ever have those moments? Like, those moments? Like, there's still, like, a lot of people over here, like, they're not saying anything. So you guys are perfect over there and some mistake people over here, right? You guys? Except for you, right? You're like, hallelujah. So here's the thing. Like, I want you to know I have a PhD in making mistakes, okay? I have a PhD, but that's not my identity. My new identity is that I make good decisions and that I make prosperous decisions. So here it goes. So we want to see what it's like. We want to walk in such a place where we have the mind of Christ. Now, here's an example of this. So what does the mind of Jesus look like? It doesn't look like anything like the way the world teaches. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove the will of God." Well, here's the thing. Jesus, he would give when he had nothing. He gave everything. He gave his life. It makes no sense. How many of you guys know stories of heroes that died for the villains? Very few. Jesus died for us. And we are the villains. We are the bad guys. We did not look for God. We did not seek him out. We wanted nothing to do with him. But God, in his infinite heart and his love for you, he laid his life down for you, even when you want nothing to do with him. Now, maybe you're saying, well, I'm not evil. No. If you have any thought in your mind that does not look like Jesus, we're thinking with the wrong mind. It's a sinful thought. So here's the point. We have the mind of Christ. What we need to do is learn how to access that mind. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I love this scripture. This one has been on my radar, especially for the past 2 years. "For if by the trespass of one man, who is Adam, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ?" So how do we reign in life? Here it is. What we need to do is we need to understand God's grace. Now, growing up, I was not given a grace gospel. I was given a gospel that was mixed. It was based upon God's good, but then he's also kind of finicky about things. And if you don't do it just right, don't jump through the hoops, you don't have your hair done right, you don't watch the right movies, like, you are going to be in big trouble with God. God's mad at you. But what I had to do is learn what it meant for God's goodness. It's the grace of God. I had to understand the grace of God. Grace of God is also the empowerment of God. So I had to learn the grace of God so I could be empowered to overcome whatever comes my way. So here we got grace. What is the other part? Righteousness. Do you know that in Christ you are a new creation and you are righteous? You can say, well, have you seen the way I drive? Have you seen the way that I get angry at my significant other? here's the thing. You are righteous not based upon your works. You're righteous because it's based upon Jesus's work. And it's perfect. What you're doing is you're learning how to walk in the way of the Lord. Okay? So the beautiful news is that you are meant to reign in life. Now, I'm not going to have a show of hands, but I'm going to say this. I would say that in my 5 years of traveling, I've only known a handful of people every place I go that are actually coming to me talking about reigning in life. Now, I want you to know that this should not be in the church. Now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but our lives are meant to be so transformed that no matter what our circumstances are, we are overcoming. Here's the sounds of someone that's not overcoming, okay? Here are the sound bites that I hear. I hear, I'm failing in life. I'm not overcoming in life. All these bad things happen to me, and I can't handle it anymore, and I'm sick and tired. And all these different things that I hear over and over again. Now, I want you to know, I have bad days. I'm not saying that I never have those, but I will say this. As I'm understanding who Jesus is and get my mind renewed, I'm able to reign in life. Now, if you look at me, you might not know this about me, but I have things going on in my life right now that in the past I would have been smothered. I would have been done. I would have given up. I would have quit. And I'm not even going to go into them just for the sake of time. But I want you to know, and I'm not perfect with this, but the more that I get my mind renewed, the less things can rock my world. Here's the thing. You, in Christ, are a new creation. So what does that look like? It looks like this. Even if your world is going to hell, you still have in heaven breaking forward. Even when things are difficult, you have something greater inside of you. Now, if you have Christ inside of you, what you need to do is if you find yourself messing up, let him take the reins of your life. Let him come out into that situation. And sometimes it takes practice. I want you to tell you something. Your emotions, you might go through something. Your emotions might be all over the place. Your thoughts might be racing, okay? But here's the deal. In that moment, you can catch yourself and say, Jesus, I can't do this. I need that grace. And you release the grace of God. I'm going to give you guys some tools here that will help that process. But we need to be intentional. Yes, you have grace. God has given you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. But you need to access it. Access it. So what we need to do, number one, we need to study the word, understand grace and righteousness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24 says, put off your older conduct, your former conduct, the old ways which grows corrupt to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. See, the thing is that some of you guys need to, sometimes you guys will have these moments, these lapses in your thinking. What you're doing, if you're finding yourself reacting to something, you put on the old man. What you gotta do is put on the new man. The old man does not look good on you. Jesus did not die to let the old man live. He died and he put that old man on it. What happens is we still have a mindset and we put it on us. So what we need to do is put it off. We need to change our wardrobe. We need to learn how to wear Jesus. Listen, you look brilliant wearing Jesus. You look really good wearing Jesus. And people are going to be like, this does not make sense. Why are you happy right now? Like, this does not make sense. All hell is breaking. How are you happy right now? I want you to know that your happiness is not based upon your circumstances. And that people are going to look at you sometimes wearing Christ, and they're going to be like, you are so weird, but I'm curious. I want to know more. 2 Timothy 1:7. I put into remembrance that you stir up the gift which is in you by the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, here's a sound mind, a disciplined mind. a mind that is full of self-control. Your thoughts and emotions are not the boss of you. How do you do this? Number two, how do you do this? Well, number one was study the word, know the word. Number two is to stir up the gift in you. What is the gift in you? The Holy Spirit. Now, for those who in this room may have a similar background to mine, I was not raised to believe in speaking in tongues. Now, I'm not here to trip you up. You might be thinking that's just the weirdest thing in the world. But I will tell you this, that praying in the Spirit is probably one of the most powerful giftings that God could ever give you. And it's a way of getting the Spirit of God stirred up inside of you. See, Smith Wigglesworth was this guy that went around and he healed a bunch of people. And someone asked him once, how do you know if God is, if you're praying for people that God's with you? Or if you're going into a room, how do you know if the Spirit's not there? What do? He says, well, I stir up the Spirit. See, Smith Wigglesworth knew that sometimes the Holy Spirit moves you, and sometimes you move the Holy Spirit. Now, that might sound like, what? How in the world is this possible? Well, guess what? You're in the family. If you're in the family, sometimes I get my mom to do things, you know, like bake cookies when I should not have them. But sometimes I inspire her to do something, and I step out in faith and buy all the ingredients for her to make those chocolate chip cookies. And I'll move my mom to do those things. There is an influence that we can have with God. When you start to understand that, now obviously you're not using it for evil ends, and God's not going to do evil things, but you have an influence with God's decision making. Well, that doesn't make sense. How does that work? Can I tell you something? If you don't believe that, look at all the men and women of God throughout the Bible and start to see times when God still came to the aid when they did the wrong thing. Let me give you an example. Abraham. Now, I don't know if you know this story, but Abraham was, he was going to Egypt, and he was married to Sarah, and his wife Sarah is in her 80s, and she was like good looking. Like people looked at her and they thought she was amazing. So if you're 80 and you're in the room, you can have the Jesus glow on you too at 80 years old. She's 80 years old, and the Pharaoh looked at her and said, oh my goodness, I need to have her. She's a babe. Well, Abraham said to Sarah, listen, you're just my sister. Because if he finds out that you are my wife, he'll kill me to get you. So he told a half lie. Okay? So he goes in. Pharaoh welcomes him. And Sarah gets brought into with his concubine, all his ladies, right? And so what happens is that night, Pharaoh has a dream that he basically is going to get killed unless he releases Sarah, because that is Abraham's, his servant's wife. So the Pharaoh woke up, says, you got to go. Like, you lied to me, and you put me in harm's way. So what do you know? What the Pharaoh did? He blessed him. Now, that doesn't make any sense. You would think that God would just say, you know what? You made your bed, now lie in it. Nope. That's not what covenant looks like. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and get in trouble and lie, but I'm saying that God is for you. No matter what, he's protecting you. He loves you so much. Now, I tell you what he did with Abraham is that he started to develop his character inside of him. He didn't want him to always make decisions like that, but God came to the aid, even at his worst. Hallelujah. Even on your worst day, God is for you. Even on your days that you wake up, it's a bad day and you're feeling a bad day, even when you just have a bad attitude, guess what? God still says, you are lovely, you are pure, you are righteous. What? That makes no sense. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Here's a really quick way to know if your mind is on the wrong thing. Do you feel a sense of gloom? A sense of foreboding doom. Do you have a sense of just a bad, icky feelings? I mean, I want you to know that every emotion is preceded by a thought. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Here's a question: Is in your life? Do you have life and do you have peace? Every day, do you have life and peace? Now, there are some areas of your life that you'll have peace in and other areas that you might struggle in. I'll give you an example, and I'll lay myself down here and say, listen, I am not the hero to all my stories, But, okay, so as I started to be changed and transformed, I still had a brothers and sisters that would push my buttons. And I would find myself reacting to them instead of responding in love. A really good way to find out how much your mind is renewed is get around your family. You can be like, ah, hallelujah, I love Jesus, I'm full of the fire of God, it's so amazing. And then you go to your parents' house. That's how you find out what you really believe. So I want you to know that you are not meant to have buttons to be pushed. You are not meant to be unhinged by your circumstances. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. Anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Here's a question. Daily, what are you meditating on? Are you thinking about surviving financially? Are you thinking about, oh my gosh, I don't know if we're going to make it? Are you focusing on the bad news? Listen, you turn on the news, it's bad news. I want you to know, my brother went to Millersville University, and what he discovered was there were people in the media that were called doomsdayers. And their job explicitly was to take the news and give a doomsday twist on it. You know why? Because they discovered that people are drawn to the negative. And it's a negative. How many of you guys ever like see a video on social media and you click it? Even though you know you shouldn't, you click it because it says something on there and it catches your attention. And it's something dark. You're like, what is this? Don't even say you don't do it, because every one of you do it. Or you watch a movie, something will catch your attention. Probably shouldn't be watching it, especially if you've been in a foul mood, right? So same thing. So you are not meant to be triggered by those things. We are actually, here's something I've learned. We, people are hardwired as children in birth with an optimism bias. Every one of you are optimist. You are by default optimist. In the beginning, you are optimist. What you do is you actually learn pessimism. Now, this is not even Christian teaching. This is neuroscience. This is not even Christian teaching. This is just what they're discovering. Here's something else. You are wired for love. What's the opposite of love? Fear. So if your mind is full of fear, your body is not responding well. You ever notice that in stressful times you get sick? You ever notice in stressful times you start having problems with your stomach or your bowels? I'm just being real. Your body is, your physiology is directly infected or affected by your thoughts, directly. Here's what they also discovered, is that your mindsets actually affect your genes. Now, here's something really crazy. I'm going to say something here. It might trip you up. Thank God we don't have stones in the room, because I don't want to get stoned for this. But here's something they discovered in science. Not Christian science, just science. They discovered that 90% to 95% of all diseases happen with your thinking. So you could be like, well, the 5%, I have the genes. Well, what if not? What if not? What if that's not the case? You could be like, well, my parents struggled with heart disease. My great-grandparents struggled with heart disease. I am going to struggle with heart disease. These are the kind of things that we're taking on quite often. It's very easy to go into a room and be like, everyone in your job is getting sick. Everyone has a cold. Everyone has a flu. Oh, man, I'm going to get the flu. Here it comes. It's coming. It's going to be real bad. And then you get it. Now, maybe you want to get it so you don't have to go to work. But you just need another job, okay? Or get your mind renewed, you know, or both. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I'm almost done here. For though we live in the world, we do not wage as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, let me say this to you real quick here. So a stronghold in the Bible is a fortified place that if the enemy comes, the people could go and hide in. Usually in the beginning, they were mountains that were hollowed out. So what would happen is, let's say a really big army is coming and this town does not have enough protection. What they would do is they would go and they would mine out they would go and hollow out the mountain to hide in and let the enemy pass through. So what happened was it became a place of protection. That's a stronghold. Later on, the word became castle. You know, and you can have that picture of a castle, you know, with a moat around it, with water, and there's only a drawbridge to go. It's the same idea here. You can have a stronghold, and a stronghold in this scripture is talking about a negative stronghold, okay? So, for though we live in this world, we do not wage as the world does. What does the world do? Fights back, says you're going to pay, no grace. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to what? Just demolish strongholds. So what's a stronghold? We demolish, here's what a stronghold is. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So what happens is this, is a stronghold is a mindset. And some of you guys have strongholds that are healthy, and some of you have ones that are not. And every one of us are in process. Like, let me give you an example. The area of my life with cars breaking down, I no longer have that issue anymore. My mind gotten renewed, and I could go into stories that blow your mind about all that. But I want you to know that God has a way of taking your junk and your past and making it into something beautiful. And the very area that you struggle in, God wants to make it where you actually are overcomers in that area. So your weaknesses in Christ can be made a strength. So I had a struggle in that area. Well, what other areas do I struggle in? Well, I struggle in growing and becoming healthy. Okay, so I believe that underneath this suit is Arnold Schwarzenegger abs. Okay, and I believe under this flab of my arms is Arnold Schwarzenegger arms, okay? I believe that I am meant to be something more than what and you have to be okay with this. It's not that I'm picking on myself, because I have to love who I am. And I also have to know I have to love who I'm becoming. And there's a process. So here's the deal. You might have one area of your life that looks great and other areas that are not. It just comes down to you getting the mind of Christ in that situation. So I'm asking God, Lord, what does it look like to have the mind of Christ with good eating? What does it look like not to go to junk food when I'm having a crappy day? What does it look like for me not to just say, oh, there's pasta, now I have to eat five bowls because I'm not feeling the greatest? Maybe that's not the way. Maybe that's not the way. So we demolish every stronghold, and we take every thought captive. Now, here's something we don't hear very often. But what you need to do is learn how to bring your rogue thoughts into captivity. So I'm going to give you an example of this. I'm going to use myself as an example. So my dad has bad health problems, okay? My dad has 2 years ago, he had two heart attacks. And and I'm trying to think of the name of where he's at right now. He's having congestive heart failure right now. And it's been going on for 2 years. So everyone's waiting for the shoe to drop. But I'm praying, Lord Jesus, I pray for healing for his body. Now, let me give you this example here. So my dad is very sick, and my thoughts want to say, your dad's going to die, and you are the oldest, and you're going to have to take care of your family. Now, that might sound like wisdom. That might sound like the right thing to think about, but that thought is not lovely or pure or of good news. And so what I know is I'm catching myself now saying, nope. Now, can my dad die? Sure, we're all going to die one day. But some of your greatest thoughts, some of the thoughts that come back to you are either inspired by fear or love. And you have to learn how to discern between the two. You might think you're using wisdom, but the reality is you might just be using fear. God might be telling you to go to such and such place. And you're like, no, it's dangerous there. I'm not going to go there. But here's the deal. Maybe that is not wisdom. It's just wisdom. It's fake wisdom, but it's actually masked fear. You got to know the difference, and you got to learn yourself. You got to understand the way you think. So when you start to understand that, you start understanding your thoughts. You take every thought captive. And this is where you start to grow in the mind of Christ. So here's one of your weapons. Here's one of your ways of growing in this new mindset. Gratitude. Gratitude brings the brightening of the mind, and it releases good feel-good chemicals in your brain. Now, here's something crazy. Every thought in your mind, every single thought in your mind will either produce something good or bad inside of you. Every thought in your mind. So if it's a good thought, it'll actually produce serotonin, the good feel chemicals. Every negative thought actually produces a black inky substance on you. So you literally, with wrong thoughts, you have toxic thinking. So what happens? Your brain gets stewed in this. Gratitude actually releases serotonin. So one of the ways that I changed my life from my old negative ways of doing things, the highway of negativity, is I started having gratitude in the midst of the storm. What we need to do is have gratitude in the midst of the storm. See, I'm growing in this mindset so much. If you bless me, I am blessed. If you go behind my back and talk about me and you curse me, guess what? I'm still blessed. Right. That's their issue. So, let me give you some mental self-care practices, okay, that will help you. And I'm just going to go over the four that I went over. We're study the word, getting an understanding of grace and righteousness. Stir up the gift within you. And sometimes that's praying in the spirit. Number three is notice your focus, okay? And three and four kind of go into each other, is take every thought captive. So here's the thing. Here's a way to start putting into practice what I'm sharing with you. You can start this today. And actually, we're going to start this today. We're going to do it in like 5 minutes here. Here is the way to do this. What you need to do is have a thought journal that are directed towards having your thoughts, okay? And this might sound really silly to you, but here's the deal. If you want to get your mind renewed and you keep on doing the same thing, you will keep on producing the same results in your life. For those who want to change something in your life, you have to do something differently, okay? So here's the difference. For those people in the room that will actually want to do this, I would say this. What you got to do is mentally observe how many times you have toxic, repetitive thoughts in a 24-hour period and write them down. Now, here's something really beautiful. If you have the mind of Christ, you are not meant to have one hopeless thought inside of you. How many hopeless thoughts do you have about your family coming to know Jesus? How many hopeless thoughts do you have about your finances? How many hopeless thoughts do you have about your health? How many hopeless thoughts do you have about your church? How many hopeless thoughts do you have about your blank, whatever it is, your job? How many hopeless thoughts do you have about your career? And you know what? We all have them. And what we need to do is start to weed them out. You are not meant to have a thought inside your head that's not inside of Jesus's, because you have the mind of Christ. So, number two, mentally choose to declutter your mind of these damaging, repetitive thoughts that lead to burnout. Number three, as you do step in one and two, go ahead, yep, sorry. Number two, you ready? I'm going too fast, I'm trying to finish up. Mentally choose to declutter your mind of these damaging thoughts and these repetitive thoughts. This is that loop that you get stuck in, okay? As you do, number three, as you do one and two, be on the lookout for this one thing, victim language. Like, no one understands me. Every one of us in this room have had that thought. No one understands me. You're like, well, everything's going great in my life. Well, you probably still have had this thought in your mind. Or, I can't handle this. Victim language. Or, bad things always happen to me. And what you need to do is replace it with something. You can't just get rid of it. You need to replace it with the truth. With, I am unique. Or, I am more than able to get through this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I literally believe in this. I know that there are people out there that taught this for years, Word of Faith Camp. For those who know, they would talk about your decrees and declarations. The world has discovered this technology, and they do it. So your words of affirmation, you don't need just to have it in your head. You need to speak it out loud. So if you're struggling with purity, ladies or gentlemen, you need to say that I am a man of purity, or I'm a woman of purity, and I think on these thoughts. And this is a child of God, and I'm not going to think these thoughts. Maybe it's finances. Lord, I believe that even though I'm not making enough money, I'm believing for a raise. I'm believing for a new door to open up. I'm looking for another stream of income. And I believe that, God, I have the mind of Christ, and you are going to give me the solution. Number four, challenge your sense of self-doubt by pretending to give advice to someone else. This sounds really weird, okay? You ever notice that sometimes you can give the best advice for everyone else except for yourself? Yeah? How many times have people come to you? Sometimes you need to get out of your own head and come beside yourself. Can I tell you one of the best ways to do this? This sounds so strange. There's actually a term for it, and I can't think of it. But sometimes you don't even know your own thoughts. Okay, I want to say this. So 90 to 95% of your thoughts are subconscious or unconscious. When you do something that you know that you should not do, what happens is it's because subconsciously you still have some bad belief systems. And a lot of it comes from trauma. Many of the fears that you have in your life come from some kind of trauma in your life. Something bad happens with your father, mother, upbringing, there's trauma, and that's a place where it starts, okay? So what we need to do is we need to learn how to be empowered, and one way to do this is to actually write it down. Write down, you ever notice this? Write it down and speak it out loud. Sometimes when you say the thing that you fear the most, it sounds really stupid coming out of your mouth. You're like, what? How could I believe this? So, number five, this is the last one. Cross out your toxic thoughts with healthy replacement thoughts. Get rid of the things that weigh you down and hold you back. Choose to stop engaging in habits that counteract your hard work. Make a list of ways that you can improve and practice them over 3-day sets of 21 days. It takes 21 days to build a habit. So do it 3 times, you got that thing really developed. Can I tell you something? With this one thing I'm sharing with you, you can have a tipping point in your life, but it requires intention. It requires you to work. It requires for you to actually, you know what most people do? I hate to say this, they're lazy. They want all the change. They're waiting for someone to pray over them and all their problems are okay. Or if someone counsels them and they go through counseling, some of you guys, I'm not saying anyone in this room because I don't know you, but going and never overcoming is a sign of bad thinking. What you need to do is you're not looking for someone else to solve it. You need to get the mind of Christ towards things. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but what we need to do is understand that we are the, here's one, we are the masters of your soul. Not Jesus, you are. Jesus is not going to come in there and take the wheel. He's not going to force your emotions or thoughts. You have to choose those things. Is that good? Now, what I want to see happen for you guys is this. I want to see 2019 be a lot better than 2018. Now, I want you to know, myself included, I had a hard year last year, and I had some things that were challenging to me. I had a friend that died after getting a cancer diagnosis in 5 weeks, was dead. And you know what? I had to learn how to work through that. Well, what I'm sharing with you is something that you literally will change your brain. There's something called neuroplasticity. And this is your mind's ability to mold and change. Your old way of thinking, it might be easy for you to be negative, but I want you to know by default, you are not negative. We can unlearn being negative. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Now, this takes time. It takes work. But when you start to understand the grace of God and the righteousness, it really changes things. You are meant to reign. So let me give you a little story. It's like where I'm at right now is I'm reigning in life. Now, am I saying that I'm completely reigning 100%? No, I'm still learning. There's times I crash and burn. But you know what? there's things that happen to me. There's things that happen to me right now. There are things in my life right now that used to unhinge me. And I had to learn this. And I look at my back at my life, I'm like, man, if this was 5 years ago, I would be done for. Here's the deal. And the process is a process, so give yourself grace, but still learn how to take every thought captive. So what I'm going to do here is for like 10 minutes, I really mean 10 minutes, so someone's got to tell me 10 minutes, stop. I feel like I have a couple things I want to share with some of you individually. Like, I'm not going to call anything bad out. It's all good. It's all encouraging. Things that I feel like God put on my heart to share with you. Okay, so like 10 minutes, and then microphone drop. Not really, but I will stop the microphone. I don't want to break the microphone. So here's what I believe. Okay, so I have like maybe three people in the room. Okay, one person. What is your name right there? Back. Yep. Becca. I feel like I'm shouting. Do you mind coming up here? You just sit down right here. Okay. I usually walk to people, but I'm sorry. You have to come up here, Becca. Here, I'll even turn this around. So, you're doing great. Did I ever meet you before? Okay. So, I'm going to share something I feel like it's on my heart that God is sharing with you. Okay? You take it and you say, okay, does this work? Does this not work? Here I go. So, what I feel like the Lord is doing with you in this season is this. I feel like, it's like I'm seeing a picture of you. And the picture is, I see an open book, like a journal. And I'm seeing you write down scriptures, and I'm seeing you write down prayers, and I'm seeing you write down your goals. And what I believe is that this is a season you're going to step into the goals and the dreams of your life, regardless of your circumstances. And I believe that this is a season of empowerment for you. This is a season of financially being set free. This is a season the Lord wants you to know that even though other people don't take care of their responsibilities, that the Lord wants you to know that He is empowering you. And the Lord wants you to know is that you are one that reigns. You're an overcomer, Becca. You are one that overcomes no matter what. Your life, your best years are ahead of you and not behind you. They're ahead of you. And I believe that 2019 is God is giving you an alignment. What He's showing you is this. He's showing you that you have family around you. He's showing you that He has people that back you up. And I believe this season you're going to thrive. Now I want you to know something. I feel like the Lord is like He's having you dump some thoughts off. I feel like you're taking them to the dump. Okay? And the wouldas, the couldas, the shouldas, those are the ones that are going away. The how things could have been different, right? All that stuff is done and over with. This new season is about empowerment. It's about family. And it's about knowing who you are as a daughter of Jesus. You are a daughter of God. You're coming to understand this. So it's empowerment, strengthened, refreshment, encouragement. The Lord's going to provide. He's going to provide, and He's given you a sharp mind. I'm going to say this one last piece. I believe that you could look at your life and be like, wow, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but the Lord is going to give you a strategy, and it's not going to look like anything else. Like some people, like you're taking care of your family. You can't go out and do these things, and you got to figure out how to, the Lord is going to show you how to do these things. You're not looking at a job. God's giving you an idea, and I believe that God's going to give you an idea for a business. And I believe that's empowerment. I believe that's you coming into understanding some things. So I don't know if this sounds so crazy, okay? I feel like that you're going to understand marketing. I feel like you're going to understand online businesses. I feel like you're going to that there's something in the healthcare or beauty and wellness. And I believe that there's something that God is going to put inside of you that's going to set these things forward. The Lord wants you to know is that you are coming into the greatest time you've ever lived. Your family's going to thrive, and you are meant for love. That's what I have for you. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. So, I know there's three people. Who's the second person? Second person. Sir, in the back. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Hi. Good. I don't mean to put you in a spot. Would you mind coming up here? What's your name? Robbie? Nice to meet you. I'm not trying to put you in a spot, but I feel like I have something in my heart for you. Now, we've never met before. Nice to meet you. Yeah. So, this is what I believe I hear the Lord saying for you, is that God has given, you are very smart. Like, God is showing me, he's showing me some things. He's showing me that you excel in everything you put your hands to. He's showing me that you do everything in excellence and that you do everything well. You might not feel like it, but you do it well. What I sense in this season is that you're coming into greater confidence to make good decisions. And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing an empowerment. I feel like this is a season you're coming into your groove. This is a season that you're getting everything set up and ready, and you're getting everything prepared. And God's put some things inside of you that I believe are going to come out like never before. Can I share a couple of them with you? It's one of the things I believe that God has given you an ability for is he's given you an ability for, he's given you a very strong amount, a very high amount of wisdom at your age. And even when you were younger, you had wisdom. And what I sense is this wisdom is going to be something that you help impart to other people. Okay? So I'm going to share this with you. I don't know if you ever thought about this. The word I get for you is coach. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what does this mean? So what I see you doing is this. I see you imparting to other men. I see you imparting wisdom to them. And I don't know what that looks like or where that's at, but I actually see you imparting wisdom to other people, and I see you speaking things in their life that you wish that you heard. And I see you encouraging them. I also see this happening for you. It just so happens I'm getting like this, another person here that had the same word. I see an entrepreneurial spirit on you too. And what I do believe is this. I believe that you are going to create things. I believe that you are creative. I believe that you're a creator. It might not even think, you're thinking, wait, what? I'm not a painter. I'm not a writer. God made you creative. Your creativity is in your problem-solving abilities. I believe that your problem-solving abilities and your ability to connect with people and the ability to be real is actually going to pave the way for you. And I believe in this season, you're about to come into understanding the kingdom like you've never had before. It's not going to make sense to you. You're not going to have a grid for it. You're going to be like, what the heck's happening? Like, I want you to know that it's almost like this. It's like the beginning when I first experienced God. Everything was new. You're about to come into everything being new. And that's the season you're walking in. And I'm very excited for you because you're going to do excellent in everything you do. So I just want to bless you, man. Nice to meet you. Yeah, yeah. One more. I said one more. I know there's one more. One more. I'm just trying to figure out who you are. It's probably the person that wants to hide from me right now. It's the one that's like, don't look at me. That's the person. Okay. All right. I know who it is. I know who it is. Standing up in the back, it's you. Come up here. Here we go. You know, as Christians, we are meant to be the most encouraged people in the world. What is your name? Brandon? I think I met you before, didn't I? Yeah. Okay, so I have no idea what I'm going to say to you. All I know is that you are on my radar, okay? So what I hear is this. I hear the Lord saying, well done. And I hear the Lord saying that you are coming into overcoming like never before in this season. And you might have moments when you feel like you're not getting it. And you might have moments you feel like you're dropping the ball. But the Lord is a redeemer. And you are an overcomer. This is a season for you to step into overcoming like never before. This is a season for you to have more confidence than you've ever had before in making decisions. And sometimes it feels like, oh my goodness, I'm out here. I'm on my own. What am I going to do next? The Lord wants you to know is that you are learning how to tap into his thoughts like never before. And what I see is this. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. It's almost like he's removing things. He's removing things from you. He's removing things that have held you back. He's like, no, that's not who you are. It's just easy. And this is a sense of the Lord just removing things that weigh you down. And now is the time for you to learn how to walk and learn how to run and learn how to soar. And what I see happening for you in this season is 2019 is alignment. And next year is 2020 vision. So the Lord is getting everything ready this year in 2019. He's preparing you for 2020 because you are getting prepared to step into your vision. And so it's in your heart. You know that you're meant to do great things, but the Lord is saying, okay, what are the things that we need to take care of? And I see him doing a couple of things. And one of the things I see him doing with you in this season is I see him showing you how to run your finances like never before. And I feel like the Lord is, he's showing you even what it means to be empowered and how to financially thrive. And even if things go bad, that you have a cushion. And the Lord is going to, he's going to show you these things. So I see you learning these things. And then I see you learning how to invest. I see you learn. But the Lord's just taking care of some basic things. And next year, I want you to know that you are about to come into provision for the vision as long as you come into alignment with what God's showing you. And I believe you will. Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. So, Lord, we just bless everyone here. Lord, I thank you, God, for the message. I thank you for the people you brought. I pray in Jesus' name that my friends in this room, my family in this room, will learn how to reign in life through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.